When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan. BT off the next couple of days, so it's just me and you. So a couple of things here to get to. You have Diekman now being DFA'd by the Mets. I mean, thank goodness they finally realized. Now, I don't know anything about Cage here, Matt Cage coming up, but Diekman is not a major leaguer at this particular point. It shows you, though, how shocking it was a week ago to have Diekman get through that Yankee game with a one-run lead going through Soto and Judge and the ninth inning, striking out after walking Soto, striking out Aaron Judge. I mean, miraculous. Nothing short of miraculous that Diekman was able to get the Yankees out and hold off that win for the Mets, and now he's DFA'd a week later. So, but that's the right move. Again, maybe the Mets will have Sean Reed Foley or Reed Garrett coming back here soon. They need to add another arm or two in that bullpen, but it's a good sign, I think, that Diekman is gone and that the Mets realize, you know what, enough of that. Another interesting note here, John, and this has pertains to the Yankees. We'll get back to your calls in a second, 888-808-1019. John Heyman reporting that the Yankees, while they're deadline buyers, they've also been discussing potentially moving Nestor Cortez in a deal. See, those are the things that I like. I mean, the Yankees did it a couple of years ago with trading Jordan Montgomery for Harrison Bader. I don't know if I loved that at the time. And I know Bader was a stud in the postseason, but still, that was an awkward one or an odd one. And this one, trading Cortez, though, makes more sense. Cortez has not been great for the Yanks this year. Some pitching needy team. You know, the Yanks have, they're not going to rely on Nestor Cortez to be a difference maker for them regardless. Whether he's here or whether he gets traded, it's not going to matter one way or another for the Yankees. If he's here come postseason, he's probably not taking them out in the postseason series anyway. You get Clark Schmidt back, maybe they make an addition. You still have Cole, you know, Heel, Rodon, Stroman. Where's Cortez getting on the mound? You're not putting him out of the bullpen. So it makes sense to why the Yankees would move on from Cortez. And you look at it from another team's perspective, it would make sense to add him. Where Cortez has been New York proven, the guy battles, and teams are in desperate need for starting pitching. Why wouldn't Cortez be able to be valuable somewhere else? So maybe the Yankees could bring something back that they could then in turn trade or use. Whether it's a bat, a backup bat, or, you know, a bench bat, or a bullpen arm, who knows what the market would be for Cortez. But I'd have to think with the way the starting pitching market is, this would be a wise move by the Yankees to trade. I mean, even the Mets could use Nestor Cortez. Now, that wouldn't be the guy, as I said, yeah, but the Mets wanted to go to a six-man rotation. They need depth. I'd much rather have him than Tyler McGill taking him out every fifth day or sixth day, whatever it is. Mets need a top guy, but you get the point. Teams need starting pitching. The Yankees don't necessarily need Nestor, especially the way that he's been pitching for them this year. Chris is calling from Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Sal, what's up?
How are you, Chris?
It's great, my man. It's a whole different regime with the Mets and Stearns. You're not getting the job done, they get rid of you. And you know what? We need that in New York. We need that around here.
Agreed. Really accountability to the highest extent. There is you name it. There, if you underperform with the Mets so far this year, I mean, to the, you know, obviously they're not going to cut Pete Alonso, but if you've underperformed with the Mets, you're gone. That's it. Tonkin, Diekman, doesn't matter. The bullpen arms, Joey Wendell, the Mets have made moves. Narvaez and Tomas Nito. See ya. Bye-bye.
And that goes for Cohen, but putting his money where his mouth is and saying, we'll pay these contracts off. But, Sal, two quick things. On the Senga injury, and this is a story for another day, a question, but I believe because he's not going to make the innings requirement, that's going to change his whole opt-out next year, I think. So that's something to keep in mind for next year. I think he has to get to a certain amount. Senga.
Oh, for Senga. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. So, listen, on the bullpen thing, I hear what you're saying. McGill can never see a lineup more than once. He's useless once the lineup turns around. I feel like, look, you're saying to get a top-line starter, and, you know, I get it. But, look, I mean, the Mets kind of got where they got without one. We just need people to get innings. You got to get this 5 innings is not going to do it. You got to get to the 7th inning. And what I'm concerned about is, like, unless you have those arms in the bullpen, like, I'm watching the Braves series, Sal, those relievers are coming in. Everyone's got an under 3 ERA. They're, like, really good relievers. So the game now is obviously all about bullpen across the board. So do you think giving up really high-end assets, meaning minor leaguers, for, like you say, a frontline starter is really where the game is headed right now?
I think, Chris, and thank you for the call. I think that teams are going to put more of an emphasis and a premium on building loaded bullpens. It's hard to rely on one starter, one dominant starter, to go out there every fifth day and be a difference maker. Not only you got to keep him healthy, but he's only taking the mound every 5 days. So with building a loaded bullpen, you get a bunch of starters who could give you 5-6 innings, and then you go out there and have a lockdown bullpen with guys who could go 6, 7, 8, 9, and, you know, each different night, and whether they're power arms or whatever. But that, I think, is the new way that teams are going to be building teams moving forward. That the way that they'll try to figure out a way to overcome the shortage as far as starters go, plus the price that you have to pay for a starting pitcher who is good. And like I said, they minimize the impact on the game anyway, being out there every fifth day. So I still think, though, the Mets are in a spot where they have everything else. You know, again, they're not like loaded with the lineup, but their lineup is very good. It's been a top offense for the better part of now 8 weeks, whatever it's been in Major League Baseball. Lacking clearly is the bullpen. They've added two major league arms with Stanek and with Maton. They need more because they still don't trust those guys ultimately. They need one more legitimate arm, and their rotation is not just like it's okay, but it's clearly lacking an ace. Senga could have been that guy. He was the guy last year, could have been that guy this year. He no longer can be that guy due to the injury. So they need it. It's not just about valuing starting pitching over the bullpen arms, because I do think, to your point, Chris, where you want to have that dominant bullpen. It feels like it could help you. It could be more impactful throughout the course of a week, throughout the course of a season, than just one starter who takes the mound every 5 days. I like the way the Mets have built this team out. But you still, in my opinion, you still want to have that horse. Again, does it need to be Gerrit Cole or Verlander or DeGrom at their peak? Do you still need to have that in the postseason? Maybe not, but I think it couldn't hurt you come October. Right now, think about how the Mets lineup, let's say they get to the postseason as is. Who the hell's pitching game one? Who's pitching game two? Like, you trust these guys in that environment when everything tightens up a little bit? It'd be nice to have one guy who you could count on to give you seven innings, and you know that for the most part, he's going to do his job. Three runs or fewer, seven plus innings. They don't have that guy right now. Scott is calling from Suffolk County. What's up, Scott?
Hey, so I just wanted to say, you know, coming from a fan's perspective, like, I would love for them to add a starter and obviously go out and add some more pieces. But if you remember what Stern said coming into the season, that they have a long-term plan and they were going to be competitive this season, but they weren't going to do anything that was going to sacrifice the long-term plan. Now you look, they're, you know, right before the deadline, five games above 500, they are exactly where they wanted to be. I don't think you're going to see any major adds, and I know as a fan that's not what we want to hear, but they're right where they wanted to be coming into the season. This was their goal.
It was their goal, yes, but they've been better than what anybody expected, including themselves. Well, let me ask you, though. You say they have a long-term plan. What's that plan, Scott?
To build the team starting at the farm system to accomplish long-term success.
Okay, so how
so they're not going to give up right, so any of the prospects they've acquired.
Any of them? They're not going to give up any of them?
None of the major ones. And like, I'm telling you, like, we could talk, I think 2 or 3 days from now, we're going to look and no significant moves are going to happen.
Well, that may be the case. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you know this. I mean, my predictions have been off at times. But I have no idea. I can't see into the future. So I don't know what they're going to do. I know what they should do. Your point about their plan is that they want to build sustained success and do it through the farm. Okay, so they're starting to build a farm system out. Why would trading for Skubal get away from that plan if it means taking on a bad salary? Also, that plan is flawed because you don't know what the guys in the farm system are going to be. And at best case scenario, if you ask Stearns himself right now, best case scenario, they hit on two or three of these guys. There's no way all of their top 10 prospects are going to be impactful major leaguers for years to come. Therefore, if you come up with a combination of trading one or two of those guys, maybe along with Beatty, whatever, maybe one of those guys plus Beatty, maybe two of those guys, I don't know what it's going to take, plus taking on a bad contract, you can get a pitcher who can help you now and in the future. Why wouldn't that be part of the plan? Like, if you were to trade two of the Sproat, one of the arms, give me somebody else, whatever, another young arm. I don't know if you need to trade both. Say you trade Sproat, Parada, Beatty, throw in another top five prospect. And we'll pick a name that everybody knows. How about Acuna? Oh no, can't do that. Can't do that. Why? What's Acuna going to be? And by the way, I'm just using him. I mean, you want to give Jet Williams? You want to give Gilbert? Pick one. You're trading them for a guy who you know is successful at the big year, at the big league level and under control. So that would be, to me, a smart trade. And again, you don't, might not even have to do all of that. But let's not make it like you wouldn't be getting something back. You're trading unknowns for a known. That, to me, is smart. And you could even do it if you're the Mets because of King Cohen by taking on a bad contract and lessening the prospect load going the other way. Just like he got better prospects back a year ago when he paid for Verlander and Scherzer to be traded. Instead of dumping the salaries the way the prior ownership would have done, yeah, we'll dump Jay Bruce in a salary and get back some scrub for him where you can pay the salary down and get the better prospect. That's what Cohen did. We'll pay the bulk of their salaries and save you the money, but we want the better prospects back in return. So why can't it be the reverse this year? We'll pay to take a bad contract on, but we're not going to give you the top prospects to get your guy. And I'm not saying do that for Blake Snell or do that for Flaherty. Schoolball's the guy. That's the guy that you do it for. Matt is calling from Waldwick. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, man? Great show. Real quick, before I get to my Yankee point, you mentioned Cortez getting rid of him. He kind of reminds me of, like you know, Cashman finds these lightning in a bottle guys like Aaron Small, and there was another guy named
Chacon,
yeah. And you know what? They're good for a couple of years. They run their course. There's a reason why they haven't stuck with teams. I think it's time to move on. I can see that. But real quick, the reason why I called was I'm just like kind of seeing the Yankees going back to what they used to do with a different lineup every night. Now, granted, a lot of that has been like injury and performance. But I'm wondering now that if they're going to get more stable, they got Chisholm, you know, the stand's coming back, possibly Dominguez in a couple weeks. You know, maybe, I don't know what the deal with Rizzo is. I haven't heard anything about him in a long time. You know, what do you think they're going to do with this lineup going forward to try to create more consistency? Maybe bury Volpe down in the lineup a little bit more so he can get back to what he was doing. I think their success was kind of hinged on a lot of that. Obviously, health and performance, but the consistency, knowing where they're playing every day, knowing the lineup every day. I just want to gain your thoughts on that. And, you know, it's good to see both teams, you know, hopefully turning around in the second half. We need a good August of baseball around here and then hopefully through September. But I just wanted to pick your brain on the lineup with the Yanks.
Well, we went over, Matt, and thank you for the call. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. I'll go over it again real quick with you. I don't know if it's going to be consistent. You know, Judge and Soto and Judge 2-3 have been the constants for the Yankees in that lineup. And I will say this. I don't think the Yankees are making another big move with their lineup. I think they'll add a bench piece. I do not think they're making another big move for their lineup. I think the big move for the Yankees is going to be with the bullpen and potentially adding another starter. I'd be surprised if they added a first baseman or if they added a third baseman and moved Glaber and moved Jazz to second. I think this was their big move to the lineup. Will Verdugo remain the leadoff hitter the rest of the way? I don't know. He was the cleanup hitter for a while, and it was working great, and then he wasn't. So now he's the leadoff hitter, and it's working very well for a few games. But do I believe that this is going to be sustainable the rest of the way? I don't. I don't think Verdugo is the answer at the leadoff spot. Stanton coming back, okay, great. How long will he be back? What's he going to look like? Now, Dominguez could replace him, but you can't have Dominguez, Verdugo, Stanton, and Soto. It just not going to work like that. Too many guys. Verdugo, Stanton, Dominguez, Judge. Verdugo, Soto, Judge, Stanton, and Dominguez. That's five guys right there for four spots. So one of those guys is going to be out. So it's either Verdugo or Dominguez, or it's either Stanton or Dominguez. It's not going to be all of them because you know Judge and Soto aren't going anywhere. I do think Wells now should be penciled in at number five and just leave him alone. Wells has been an impact bat as of late, giving quality at bats, hitting the ball with authority. He's been a difference maker in the Yankees' turnaround here just over the, not even just the last few games, but you could see him being more of a presence last week. Now they add Jazz. He'll be hitting sixth, most likely, or somewhere around there. Gleyber, you know, bottom of the order. Ben Rice and Volpe rounded out. Potentially, again, I don't know how exactly they're going to work it, but I think that's pretty much what you're looking at. The difference is going to be when Verdugo starts to struggle again, assuming that he does, what do the Yankees do with the leadoff spot? Would you move Jazz up there? Do you move Rice up there? Volpe, Gleyber? I mean, that they still don't have a leadoff hitter. And it could be Jazz. Maybe they move Verdugo down. They're not going to do all he's hot, but maybe Jazz is going to be the answer. Although I'm not so sure that would be the best fit. But I think this is the lineup that you're looking at with this Yankee team.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Santana into the windup. The payoff pitch on the way. Swung on and missed. Strike three. He's done it. Johan Santana has pitched a no-hitter.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Eric is calling from Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Sal, how we doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, Eric?
I'm well, thank you. I don't know if you've done a wellness check on Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I'm all right, Eric. Evan just hit me in the head with a giveaway, Mercury Mets jersey, and I love this. Thank you, Evan. He just came into the studio and said, You come. I actually do love this. I appreciate this very much. You couldn't have left it on my desk.
I thought you were at break. I figured out. Let me see if you have quick reflexes.
I was worried that you were mad at me too.
I'm not mad. Listen, let me tell you something. I saw your tweet. I was at the game with my family.
Right.
And I wasn't even checking Twitter, but I happened to check.
Yeah.
And I laughed. Now, I didn't hear the
it
show
was
during
a
the
joke.
Day. I took it as a joke. Now, what happened as soon as that tweet was fired was hell. And I don't blame you for it. I actually thought it was funny, but I got to tell you, getting a lot of heat.
I understand. I understand, but thank you for this.
I'm on your side if that means anything.
It does mean something. Okay. I mean, for goodness, I thought it was an obvious joke.
I laughed at it. I explained it to my son. I was like, so here's the deal.
Yeah.
Because I was telling you, I was explaining everything to my son. He asked me why they were chanting mean things at Marcelo Zuna. Imagine telling
God.
A seven-year-old.
Which is more difficult, explaining that to him or Frank the Tank?
It was complicated. But I thought it was funny. It's just it was terrible timing. I mean, listen, obviously everything went horrible since you tweeted it.
Terrible timing. The Mets were at their apex.
But then Senga gets hurt.
I understand, but do you really think I had the...
I'm not saying it's your fault.
It's their fault. They can't help me out for once. For goodness sake, can they do me a freaking favor? They go into the tank as soon as I tweet that and get behind them? If you think the wraths that Frank the Tank has unleashed on the Mets and others was bad, if the Mets go into a rut now, I will never forgive them. It is one thing for the... I will never forgive them. It is one thing to blow the division in 2022 in the fashion that they did, where somehow little old me, who finally decides to believe in that stinking team, because they were good, did win 101 games, did in fact tie the Braves, but obviously couldn't beat them head-to-head once in Atlanta. So they look like fools, and somehow little old me came out looking like an even bigger fool. Now again, where I jokingly tweet out the other night while things are going very well at Citi Field and the Mets reached their apex of the 2024 season, and I tweeted out jokingly the NL wildcard race is over. And they've done nothing since. The only thing that's happened since then, they've lost two games, a starting pitcher, and haven't been able to score a run. And there are some people, because I'm getting texts, not just tweets, and I don't read all the tweets. I don't care what you say. I mean, I've seen some of them. Block, 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 mute. No, I've seen some of them, but I really don't care. It's too much to take here. And you can't take it seriously. But friends, coworkers, people texting me, thinking that this could be the beginning of a downward spiral for the Mets. That the balloon has burst. The bubble. The balloon has popped. The bubble has burst for the 2024 Mets with the momentum now, all the momentum that they had at their apex Friday night, smashing the Braves, Senga dominating. All that momentum is now gone. And there is some fear amongst people in the know and some Mets fans that this could be the beginning of the end. What I will say to that is, how weak are Mets fans that they now, all of a sudden, after two games, splitting a series with the Braves? It's two games. They think the sky is falling now? How fickle. You Mets fans out there that are feeling that should be ashamed of yourselves. Didn't they earn your belief to a certain extent? I'm not saying you got to believe that they're going to win the division or be a World Series team. Look, maybe they missed the postseason, but do you really think this team's going to go back into the tank and dip under 500? I mean, they were due for a bad stretch. It was bound to happen. You think that's coming now? I'll tell you this. For the sake of my sanity, it better not be happening now. They could go into a rut. They cannot go into a rut now. You got to get a win against Minnesota tonight. Win this series. I finally believe in this team. Finally start to get behind them. And this is what happens. I do have faith in the Mets. I do think they're going to be a playoff team. I think they'll be fine. But we're playing with fire right now. It can't be happening now. This can't be happening again. Please, no. Callum is calling from London. What's up, Callum?
Hey, man. What's up? Love the show. I just wanted to ask, what do you think kind of the Yankees are going to end up doing with Cortez? Do you think they move him to the bullpen? Do you think they maximize the trade value? You know, he's not been great this year. You know, do you think they cash in and they get a bat or another reliever? Or what do you think his value is?
Yeah, it's a great question, Callum, and thank you for the call. I'm not sure what the value is for Cortez, but the way that starting pitchers are at a premium, and it seems to be the, you know, prices are high on everybody at this particular point, bullpen arms, starters, I would think the Yankees might be able to get something of value back. Maybe this is a spot where they trade Cortez to a contender, and the contender trades a bench piece to the Yankees. You know, a move that could help two teams that are buyers at the deadline. But just swapping parts. I love those type of deals. I would think the value, like the Yankees aren't interested in getting prospects back. Not at this point. They're trying to build a World Series team. So what are the areas of need for the Yankees? And they're not going to get a better, if they trade Cortez, it's not going to be for a better starter. I mean, unless it was packaged with somebody else, I guess, but even then that wouldn't make sense. But let's assume that he's not going to be packaged with anybody and the Yankees trade Cortez to a team that needs starting pitching, you would think the other team is either going to send them a bullpen arm or a bench bat. I would say most likely, and again, I have no idea to any insight on this, I would say the most likely case is they would trade Cortez for a bench piece. Anthony's calling from Freehold. What's up, Anthony?
Sal, what's up? How are we doing, brother?
Good. How are you, Ant?
Good, good. Well, I do have an unfortunate Mets trade deadline prediction, but before I do this, and I want to say this first. Sal, I've been a fan and a big-time defender of yours for a long, long time. I give you a lot of props. I think you have a crazy job, WFAN-SNY, the whole thing. Give you props. Your tweet yesterday, you knew what you were doing. The rest of the season may or may not be spoiled, and I'm hoping it's not, because I can't do this anymore. I cannot keep defending you, Sal.
Well, defending me to who, exactly?
Sal, you know how big the Mets community presence is on Twitter. We have Atlanta fans that are in my inbox, ripping me to shreds, sending me your posts, and I really don't know what to do anymore. I'm hoping that for both of our sakes and for the Mets fans' sakes, you know, this is not a permanent thing that's happening right now.
Well, I mean, me too. Obviously, Anthony, me too. But you do understand that This is different than the last one. You want to get on me for the last one, a bold prediction gone wrong. And by the way, at the time, I said this a million times, I didn't even think it was that bold. I mean, the Mets looked like they were going to run away with the division with ease. So it was obviously wrong. They couldn't hold on. They choked it away. But this was just a joke. It was a joke at a moment where everybody was having fun. Every Met fan. So what? I'm not allowed to have fun either? I can't have any fun?
Listen, that's what I tell people. I say the guy's having fun. He's a big Met fan. Let him enjoy his time. Anyways.
Last one on this one, Ant, and I'll let you finish your last point. A lot of these people that I'm sure you're dealing with and have sent messages, like, they're not old enough to have seen the Mets win a World Series. I did. So who's the jinx? Me or you? I've seen the Mets win a World Series. So go back to your diapers and whatever it is that you're in when the Mets were good. I've seen it. So I am not the jinx. Anyway, now go ahead, Ant.
All right. Anyways, my unfortunate trade deadline prediction, and I'm really, really, really hoping I do not see a tweet from Heyman saying this. I have a tingle that the Mets will be acquiring Rich Hill, and that will be their splash along with Winker and Ryan Stanek, who I'm hoping gets DFA'd next. That's my prediction. I'm really hoping for the best. Thank you, Sal.
All right, and thank you for your support. I do appreciate the support out there. I don't know why you have to defend me. I mean, I'm just trying to have some fun, entertain, give my opinion. I don't get it. Some of the absurd, like, you want to have fun with it as well, make fun of it, understood. Some of the absurd stuff, like, it just gets nasty. And it's just really not, it shows you the quality of human being that is out there. And it really is sad. I'll say this. How about this on record? If the Mets don't make the postseason, I will never tweet about the Mets again. That's my word. If the New York Mets do not make the postseason and they go into a rut that coincides with the bad timing of that tweet, I guess, or the timing of that tweet, I will never again in my life tweet about the Mets. I'm not going to delete my account. I'm not going to retire from radio. I'm not going to stop talking about them, obviously. But I will never again tweet about the New York Mets if they don't make the postseason. That's what I'll put on me. So there you go. Mets fans, I'll give you that. The ones who are angry at me for the tweet. Can't take a joke. Takes sports a little too seriously. Need to grow up. But I'll do that. I'll take accountability. If they don't make the postseason, and first of all, it's not going to have anything to do with my tweet, but if they don't make the postseason and it coincides with that tweet, I won't ever in my life tweet about the New York Mets again. You have my word. And if they do make the postseason, then all of you can kiss my...
That's not good enough, Sal. Yeah. They can't just make the postseason if they finish ahead of the Braves.
But why? Who cares about the Braves?
Because you said that part was over.
Yeah, but it was a joke. That's the point. You can't take it literally. It was a joke. I said
Dove clearly missed a joke.
Yeah, did you not get it, Dove? I mean, I did the joke on the air. How come nobody was calling afterward? It was only after the Mets lost. Conveniently, after they lost the next 2 days.
But your promise not to tweet is based on the joke as well. So it can't be based on the Mets just making the postseason. They have to finish ahead of the Braves.
So if the Mets don't finish ahead of the Braves, yeah, that's fine, whatever it may be. If the Mets, but I mean the wild card race, but where did it say specifically that they were ahead of the Braves? It didn't. It said the wild card race was over. I mean, if you want it to be, I'm fine with that. Whatever. Point is, if the Mets, all right, here you go. If the Mets don't, thanks, though, for ruining the, I thought, clean bit that we had going. But we'll take it a step further. If the Mets don't, now what if the Braves don't finish buried and the Mets don't make the postseason, then what?
What happens the Mets have to make the postseason also.
Yeah. Well, that's more important than finishing ahead of the Braves, I would think, at this point. You get the picture. I would be willing to risk never tweeting about the Mets again. But as I said, if they do make it, you know what you could do. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 on the Fan. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side.
Talk New York sports with us, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off today and tomorrow. We'll be back together on Wednesday, the day after the big trade deadline. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. The Mets did make a move today. It was not a big trade, though. They brought up Matt Gage from AAA and DFA Diekman. And Joe DiMeo of SNY.TV was giving me some info on why this was the move. So I guess they got Gage on a waiver wire for some cash. He's been around the block, so not a big deal there. But Diekman, this is the interesting part of it. Not only was Diekman not good, he was close to getting his appearance count to vest his option next year for $4 million. So there's no way the Mets wanted Diekman to pick that option up for $4 million. So that's why that now it makes a little bit more sense. I know it wasn't very good, but the fact that they've been using him, riding him into the ground here for a while, there's no way they wanted that option to vest at $4 million. They would have if you were good, but you're not good, and you're going to save $4 million. So that's why DFA, at least in part, DFA Jake Diekman. All right, Hoff, you got any moves here? They were saying Gallison.
Yeah, according to Ken Rosenthal and Katie Wu, three-team trade in which the Cardinals would acquire Eric Fetty, Dodgers would get Tommy Edman, and the White Sox would get prospects. But that would kind of go against what they were talking about with the Yankees and Nestor Cortez, because they were eyeing Tommy Edman specifically, right. So maybe that takes Cortez off the board.
Well, if the Cardinals then get a better start, Fetty's been better than Cortez, so the Cardinals upgrade with getting Fetty, and then the Dodgers get Tommy Edman. That's the guy that the Yankees wanted, so maybe then Cortez is off the board. But yeah, I mean, that seems to make sense. Look, Yanks, some guys they've been in on here have come off the board. Well, yeah, Cashman's got, you know, you got about 24 hours, a little more than 30 hours to go. Start making some big moves. Who knows what the holdups are on these, but other teams are making moves. I'm trying to just read here. Yeah, the multiple guys are saying the same thing about that three-way deal. So that would have been the case. Cardinals probably waiting that out because they figured Fetty is better, so if they could figure out a way to get him, three-way deal, all right, interesting move. Cardinals get better. It's going to be a problem for the Mets as the Cardinals look to steal one of those wild card spots from the Mets. Steve is calling from Howard Beach. Natural Body Steve, what's up?
Hey, I have a very insightful observation for you, little buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Given the enormity of your platform on WFAN, speaking to the audience, and the social media of WFAN, the Twitter, the Instagram, then your personal, then your SNY appearances, you have a large net that you capture in terms of audience, right? So I'm going to tell you how a jinx works in this capacity. You go out and you make this massively outlandish claim, which is fine. We get it. But at the end of the day, if one Met player hears that, and athletes are on social media more than ever, they pay attention to everything. You see what Durant does. We've seen the likes of Terrell Owens.
Yeah, not all of them.
All over, right? It's all of them, right?
No, it's now, not. I don't think it is all of them. Well, you get to the point already. What's your point?
Right. If one player on that team hears that and it infects them negatively, that could cascade to the rest of the team, hence the jinx actually taking form and working. And trust me,
what would be negative about that? And by the way,
what would be negative? Yeah. In baseball, when a player has to reach down and be incredibly adept at batting, fielding.
This is such a stretch. No, Steven, thank you for the call, Natural Body Steve. That is beyond a stretch. That is an awful call. You've made some bad calls. That may be amongst the worst of them that I have heard. First of all, the tweet that I sent out that people are saying is a jinx happened during the game. Nobody's watching that or reading it. And by the way, it was a positive tweet. Enough about this crap. More important stuff here. John Heyman tweeted out. Now, wait, Hoff, can you help me with this? Because Joel Sherman has me blocked on Twitter. But Heyman retweeted his tweet saying Flaherty trade should happen soon. If a Flaherty trade, and then Andy Martino says, if Flaherty is traded soon, it won't be to the Mets. So, I mean, all right, well, it just has the Mets, one name off the board there.
Oh, well, because according to
Sherman?
Yeah, Heyman said that Flaherty's been scratched for today.
Right. Is that it?
That's all they have.
Okay. So if that's happening soon, a Flaherty trade, it won't be to the Mets. That's according to Andy Martino of SNY.TV. Mark is calling from Monmouth County. What's up, Mark?
Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Good. What's up, Mark?
Nothing much. 2 points. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to make a Met point first and then a Yankee one quick. I won't be as long as and not get anywhere like the last guy. First off, Mets definitely need another starter. I mean, if you don't go with Trubel, who's a little younger, but like you pay for what you, you know, you get for what you pay for. I agree. I would go for Scooble, especially because they have some good arms in their farm system. But also, maybe a guy like Toronto, go for a guy that can go seven innings. Kevin Gausman is a little older, contract's a little bigger, but guy is a workhorse. He pitches deep into games. That would give the Mets a solid arm at the top of their rotation. So there's my net point. My Yankee point would be Gleyber Torres, for what he's doing, is going to miss at playing third base. Got to get rid of them. They should go to the Rays. The Rays are making deals all over the place. Brandon Lau, come play second base. Jazz Chisholm is open to playing third base. Or put Oswaldo Cabrera there. The Yankees need to upgrade there. They got to get rid of Gleyber Torres. Robinson Cano is the same sort of player, but he was also for 7-8 years a 25-100 guy. Got to get rid of Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, right.
Thanks,
he was the same player. And thanks for the call, Mark. He's the same player, but significantly better. Like, Robinson Cano was a stud. Now, obviously, we know about the PEDs, but Gleyber Torres, if Gleyber Torres were putting up numbers even comparable, even close to what Cano was doing, this wouldn't be an issue. Gleyber Torres is a losing player. Simple as that. And we felt that way for a long time, both BT and I. Well, BT going back to what Tiki or me solo on the overnights, and then obviously we've been talking about it since we've been paired together here for a year. So there's nothing new, but it was more obvious last night than ever before. When they come to you in the middle of a pennant race, and by the way, the Yankees, I don't even know if they went to him, but the media asked him, hey, would you be open to playing third base now with Jazz? And he goes, nope, I'm a second baseman, I play second base. Like, all you had to do, you could talk to your team differently, you could talk to Boone like that behind closed doors, where they say, hey, Gleb, would you be open to third? He'd be like, no, not really, I don't like playing third. Ball gets hit too hard there. I'd rather play second base. I'm a second baseman, that's what I do. That would be bad enough, but in public, to say that to the reporters after the game, after you just get Jazz, where Jazz is like, yeah, I'll play wherever they need me to. That's the right attitude. Gleyber's like, no, I'm a second baseman. I'm good. Nothing says more of a loser player than that. Mike is calling from Tinton Falls, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I just want to say that the Yankees ought to be ashamed of themselves. They should be going all in, and at this point, they've made no significant moves. I mean, Jazz Chisholm, for what he is, he's a .240 hitter. You know, he's mediocre in the field at best. And I honestly, Cashman, he ought to be fired if they make no significant moves. They need to pick up either Snell, Scooble, they need either Snell or Scooble, and he ought to be ashamed of himself if they don't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see, and thank you for the call, Mike. I think Cashman's working hard at making a big move. I was going to say another big move, but I don't even know if I would consider Jazz a big move for the Yanks. It is going to be, though, a letdown in comparison to what at least BT wanted, and I would assume a lot of Yankee fans as well, when you go back a week ago, where they needed massive overhaul. Like, Jazz is not a massive overhaul to their lineup. They need a legitimate, dominant bullpen arm to pair with Clay Holmes. And you could argue they need a starter. Now, if Rodon continues to pitch like this and Gerrit Cole reverts back to form, they wouldn't need a starter. But who the hell knows? You can't trust that. Well, tomorrow, 6 p.m., we'll find out. But the Mets and Yankees have some work to do. It's all right there in front of them. There are moves to be made. How far will the Mets and Yankees be willing to go? All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dolb, as always. Thanks to Hoff, as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. You know what you could do. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 on the Fan. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side.
Talk New York Sports with us, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. BT off today and tomorrow. We'll be back together on Wednesday, the day after the big trade deadline. Tomorrow, 6 p.m. The Mets did make a move today. It was not a big trade, though. They brought up Matt Gage from AAA and DFA Diekman. And Joe DiMeo of SNY.TV was giving me some info on why this was the move. So I guess they got Gage on a waiver wire for some cash. He's been around the block, so not a big deal there. But Diekman, this is the interesting part of it. Not only was Diekman not good, he was close to getting his appearance count to vest his option next year for $4 million. So there's no way the Mets wanted Diekman to pick that option up for $4 million. So that's why that now it makes a little bit more sense. I know it wasn't very good, but the fact that they've been using him, riding him into the ground here for a while, there's no way they wanted that option to vest at $4 million. They would have if you were good, but you're not good, and you're going to save $4 million. So that's why DFA, at least in part, DFA Jake Diekman. All right, Hoff, you got any moves here? They were saying
According to Ken Rosenthal and Katie Wu, three-team trade in which the Cardinals would acquire Eric Fetty, Dodgers would get Tommy Edman, and the White Sox would get prospects. But that would kind of go against what they were talking about with the Yankees and Nestor Cortez, because they were eyeing Tommy Edman specifically, right. So maybe that takes Cortez off the board.
Well, if the Cardinals then get a better start, Fetty's been better than Cortez, so the Cardinals upgrade with getting Fetty, and then the Dodgers get Tommy Edman. That's the guy that the Yankees wanted, so maybe then Cortez is off the board. But yeah, I mean, that seems to make sense. Look, Yanks, some guys they've been in on here have come off the board. Well, yeah. Cashman's got, you know, you got about 24 hours, a little more than 30 hours to go. Start making some big moves. Who knows what the holdups are on these, but other teams are making moves. I'm trying to just read here. Yeah, the multiple guys are saying the same thing about that three-way deal. So that would have been the case. Cardinals probably waiting that out because they figured Fetty is better, so if they could figure out a way to get him, three-way deal. All right, interesting move. Cardinals get better. It's going to be a problem for the Mets as the Cardinals look to steal one of those wild card spots from the Mets. Steve is calling from Howard Beach. Natural Body Steve, what's up?
Hey, I have a very insightful observation for you, little buddy.
Yeah.
Okay. Given the enormity of your platform on WFAN, speaking to the audience, and the social media of WFAN, the Twitter, the Instagram, then your personal, then your SNY appearances, you have a large net that you capture in terms of audience, right? So I'm going to tell you how a jinx works in this capacity. You go out and you make this massively outlandish claim, which is fine. We get it. But at the end of the day, if one Met player hears that, and athletes are on social media more than ever, they pay attention to everything. You see what Durant does. We've seen the likes of Terrell Owens.
It's yeah, not all
they're
of them.
All over, right? That they're all, it's all of them, right?
No, it's now, not. I don't think it is all of them. Well, you get to the point already. What's your point?
Right. If one player on that team hears that and it infects them negatively, that could cascade to the rest of the team, hence the jinx actually taking form and working. And trust me,
what would be negative about that? And by the way,
what would be negative? Yeah. In baseball, when a player has to reach down and be incredibly adept at batting, fielding.
This is such a stretch. No, Steven, thank you for the call, Natural Body Steve. That is beyond a stretch. That is an awful call. You've made some bad calls. That may be amongst the worst of them that I have heard. First of all, the tweet that I sent out that people are saying is a jinx happened during the game. Nobody's watching that or reading it. And by the way, it was a positive tweet. Enough about this crap. More important stuff here. John Heyman tweeted out. Now, wait, Hoff, can you help me with this? Because Joel Sherman has me blocked on Twitter. But Heyman retweeted his tweet saying Flaherty trade should happen soon. If a Flaherty trade, and then Andy Martino says if Flaherty is traded soon, it won't be to the Mets. So, I mean, all right, well, it just has the Mets, one name off the board there.
Oh, well, because according to
Sherman?
Yeah, Heyman said that Flaherty's been scratched for today.
Right. Is that it?
That's all they have.
Okay. So if that's happening soon, a Flaherty trade, it won't be to the Mets. That's according to Andy Martino of SNY.TV. Mark is calling from Monmouth County. What's up, Mark?
Sal, thanks for taking my call.
Good. What's up, Mark?
Nothing much. 2 points. I'm a Yankee fan, but I'm going to make a Met point first and then a Yankee one quick. I won't be as long as and not get anywhere like the last guy. First off, Mets definitely need another starter. I mean, if you don't go with Trouble, who's a little younger, but like you pay for what you, you know, you get for what you pay for. I agree. I would go for Schoolball, especially because they have some good arms in their farm system. But also, maybe a guy like Toronto, go for a guy that can go seven innings. Kevin Gausman is a little older, contract's a little bigger, but guy is a workhorse. He pitches deep into games. That would give the Mets a solid arm at the top of their rotation. So there's my Met point. My Yankee point would be Gleyber Torres, for what he's doing, is going to miss at playing third base. Got to get rid of him. They should go to the Rays. The Rays are making deals all over the place. Brandon Lau, come play second base. Jazz Chisholm is open to playing third base. Or put Oswaldo Cabrera there. The Yankees need to upgrade there. They got to get rid of Gleyber Torres. Robinson Cano is the same sort of player, but he was also for 7-8 years a 25 and 100 guy. Got to get rid of Gleyber Torres.
Yeah, right.
Thanks,
Sal. He was the same player. And thanks for the call, Mark. He's the same player, but significantly better. Like, Robinson Cano was a stud. Now, obviously, we know about the PEDs, but Gleyber Torres, if Gleyber Torres were putting up numbers even comparable, even close to what Cano was doing, this wouldn't be an issue. Gleyber Torres is a losing player. Simple as that. And we felt that way for a long time, both BT and I. Well, BT going back to Watiki or me solo on the overnights, and then obviously we've been talking about it since we've been paired together here for a year. So there's nothing new, but it was more obvious last night than ever before. When they come to you in the middle of a pennant race, and by the way, the Yankees, I don't even know if they went to him, but the media asked him, hey, would you be open to playing third base now with Jazz? And he goes, nope, I'm a second baseman. I play second base. Like, all you had to do, you could talk to your team differently. You could talk to Boone like that behind closed doors where they say, hey, Gleb, would you be open to third? He'd be like, no, not really. I don't like playing third. Ball gets hit too hard there. I'd rather play second base. I'm a second baseman. That's what I do. That would be bad enough, but in public, to say that to the reporters after the game, after you just get Jazz, where Jazz is like, yeah, I'll play wherever they need me to. That's the right attitude. Gleyber's like, no, I'm a second baseman. I'm good. Nothing says more of a loser player than that. Mike is calling from Tinton Falls, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I just want to say that the Yankees ought to be ashamed of themselves. They should be going all in, and at this point, they've made no significant moves. I mean, Jazz Chisholm, for what he is, he's a .240 hitter. You know, he's mediocre in the field at best. And I honestly, Cashman, he ought to be fired if they make no significant moves. They need to pick up either Snell, Skubal, they need either Snell or Skubal. And he ought to be ashamed of himself if they don't get it done.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. And thank you for the call, Mike. I think Cashman's working hard at making a big move. I was going to say another big move, but I don't even know if I would consider Jazz a big move for the Yanks. It is going to be, though, a letdown in comparison to what at least BT wanted, and I would assume a lot of Yankee fans as well, when you go back a week ago, where they needed massive overhaul. Like, Jazz is not a massive overhaul to their lineup. They need a legitimate, dominant bullpen arm to pair with Clay Holmes. And you could argue they need a starter. Now, if Rodon continues to pitch like this and Gerrit Cole reverts back to form, they wouldn't need a starter. But who the hell knows? You can't trust that. Well, tomorrow, 6 p.m., we'll find out. But the Mets and Yankees have some work to do. It's all right there in front of them. There are moves to be made. How far will the Mets and Yankees be willing to go? All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove, as always. Thanks to Hoff as well. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next. I'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.